Welcome to the March 28th, 2014 Drupalize Me podcast.
Drupalize Me.
So, welcome, everybody. I am Addison Berry. I am your hostess for today's podcast. I'm not going to say fine folks today. I mean, I just said it, but I'm not going to say it in the normal context that I say it in almost every podcast. But I do have people with me. I have really cool people with me. So I have Seth Brown, who's Director of Operations at Lullabot.
Hello. Good morning.
And
evening.
That's true. Well, it's afternoon for me. It's not quite evening. So I'm okay with that. I have Jared Ponchot.
Hi there. Good day to you, listeners. Or night.
Top of the morning.
And Mr. Rogers is here, too.
Lastly, I have Johnny Lehane.
Hi, how you doing, everyone?
I'm doing very well. And Johnny is from Waka, which is like one of the best names ever, which is I always get this mixed up. It's the World Adult Kickball Association, correct?
That's right. That's yes. How we started. Now we call ourselves Waka Kickball and Social Sports as we've branched out beyond our beginnings.
Gotcha. They grow in people. Cool. So the thing that we all have in common and the reason we're on the podcast is we all have distributed companies and we all attended a conference that was put on by Lullabot for distributed companies called Yonder, which happened back in January. So we're going to talk about what it means to be a distributed company and sort of some of the takeaways about that experience, both generally in terms of what we've been doing, but also specifically from the Yonder conference, which was a great place to talk about this stuff. So before we get into the details of distributed companies and what's cool and what's not cool, news and events stuff real quick for everybody. Our regular announcement about where we are with video series that we have going on. We have started off the new services series with Joe Schindelar, and we have about half of that is out, and then the other half will be coming out next week and the week after that. So if you want to learn all about the services module and how you can turn your Drupal site into a site that provides the output it needs for things like mobile apps or other applications on the web to be able to use the data from your website. Services module series is where you want to look. And then big news just in the Drupal community. Well, I think it's big news. I think it's pretty cool. There's going to be a DrupalCon in Latin America in 2015. The association announced that a couple weeks ago. And so they have narrowed it down to Bogota, Colombia, or Sao Paulo, Brazil. Right now, the association has chosen Bogota, but they're leaving the conversation open to the community in case there's something big about that decision that they're missing, so which is pretty cool. And some of you may remember that there was supposed to be a DrupalCon in Sao Paulo previously, and that got canceled. So there's definitely, I think, a lot of trepidation around this and a lot of excitement that they're kind of coming back around, and I would say that the local community and the association are really determined to make this amazing. So I'm excited about that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go, but I would be totally excited to go to either of those locations. So anyway, so that's pretty cool. Events that are coming up a little more close to our current time is actually this weekend is Drupal Dev Days, or actually all this week has been Drupal Dev Days going on in Szeged, Hungary. All this week has been a lot of sprinting that's been going on, a lot of core sprinting. Friday, the day the podcast is coming out, is there's Amber and Joe Schindelar. They did training today, or maybe they are. Depends on the time, I guess, the time of day. But they're doing a workshop on community tools. It's a free workshop. And then through the weekend is going to be the actual Dev Days camp. So you know, if you're not there, you're probably not going to make it in time unless you live local to Szeged, Hungary. But anyway, very cool event, and a lot of Drupal 8 core stuff is happening there. And then another event just to keep on your radar going forward, at the end of April, April 23rd, 25th, is Drupal Camp Mexico in Mexico City. And our very own Wampy is a featured speaker at that event. So that one you can get on your calendar and get a flight down to sunny Mexico. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Cool. All right. So that's it for my news and my events. I'm trying to keep them briefer. So let's turn to the topic at hand. I'm going to start off by just sort of explaining what the Yonder conference was about, and kind of use that to break into sort of like our conversation about distributed teams in general, instead of just like the Yonder conference per se. So the Yonder conference, it was a very small conference, invite only, and it's only for distributed companies. It was designed as a place for those who are running distributed companies to come together and share their knowledge and their experience and their frustrations, and for us to learn from each other. So it was very, very tailored to that very specific use case.
And the irony was that it was for them to do that in person.
Of course, exactly. But I'm going to come back to that later when I share some of my takeaways from Yonder. Anyway, so this was the idea behind Yonder, because the distributed companies, a lot of people are talking about them, a lot of people are doing it. If you look at numbers that are going on, so Forrester Research numbers here, 34 million Americans work from home at some point during the week. That's a lot of people. This number is expected to reach 63 million, or 43% of the U.S. workforce by 2016. 2016 is 2 years away. Like, this is not one of those, like, 2060 things, right? So almost half of the U.S. workforce is going to be there. So it's becoming a huge part of the way that we work. And since most of our lives are spent in our, you know, with work hours, it's a huge part of our lives. And so we got together, and we talked about it for 2 days in California back in January. And it was an amazing experience. So, but before we get into sort of takeaways from that or just general distributed stuff, I want us to start with, how did it even come to be? Because it's very, you know, becoming more and more common now. But like, Lullabot has been a distributed company for quite a while. And so back in the day, how did this stuff even get started to begin with? So I want to start off with you, Johnny, and say how did you choose to become a distributed company? Was it a choice that you made? And like, how did that all start for you to be distributed?
Sure. Well, first, thank you very much for having me along, both at Yonder and today. It's been a great experience getting to know all you guys a lot better and commiserating with my fellow distributed workforce. For us, it was sort of an accident. It was way back in 1998 when being distributed was indeed novel, but we started as a hobby. We provide kickball and social clubs for adults, for those who are not familiar with Waka, and it was just a part-time thing. I was working in the tech field, as were my friends, and there was no thought of getting an office. And when we finally did go full-time, the reason we went full-time is because we had the opportunity to provide leagues not just in Washington, D.C., where we were based, but we had interest and people emailing us from all over the country, from San Francisco and Florida. And there was no thought even to getting offices in all of these locations. So distributed sort of just happened to us. That being said, as we looked at it, we never even considered, well, let's go spend a bunch of money on rent. We worked out of our own houses. We moved around. We got to see each other a couple times a week. And that got it done for us. And then as we all grew up and the company grew and we did start hiring people in all these different cities, it just grew organically that way, and then gave us the ability to end up living wherever we wanted to. And that's when I moved up to New York, where I grew up.
Nice. Yeah, well, so it's interesting because I think from the Lullabot perspective, it's a similar kind of thing. So Matt and Jeff, who started Lullabot, I mean, it was just the two of them working, and they met through working on Drupal. And Drupal's a, you know, it's a distributed community. I mean, it's not a company, but it's a huge community who works online together. So they're just like a distributed company, except they're doing volunteer work that way. And so, and they didn't happen to be in the same location, but they wanted to work together. So they just, you know, it was just two of them. So they were just doing stuff. And then once they started to hire employees, it was like, well, they're not going to make employees move somewhere. You know, that sort of, that seemed like crazy and like asking a whole lot. And so they just sort of ended up hiring people wherever they were. And that's, so it just sort of happened again, organically and naturally. It just made sense. It didn't make sense to like, well, everybody has to move to the same place and we have to get an office. Like, that seems weird. And it's interesting with, and I'm curious about the experience, and we can talk about this with, you know, but like with some of the negatives of a distributed company, especially back in the day before this was very, very common. By having hiring people in different places, it introduces all kinds of weirdness that people not in your company that you have to interact with, like insurance companies and banks, they freak out. Like they didn't even know how to handle that kind of a thing, and it ended up creating its own set of interesting things to deal with. But on the other hand, Lullabot can hire the best people, even if those people don't feel like moving to our city, whatever that would be, right? So I guess there's a trade-off right there.
And we've definitely experienced that as well on the hiring side. We have a what we call our back office, which is finance people and software people and administrative people. And we hire wherever they are. We look for the best and the most cost-effective staff. And we don't have to hire in any one place. We do find that for key positions, we try to keep them within a few hours of each other in case we do want to get together to solve difficult problems, as we talked about some at Yonder. While distributed is a great lifestyle, there are those moments, there are those projects, those issues where you need to get that face-to-face time. So we like to make sure that we have ample opportunity and access to each other when that becomes important.
Right on. So let me just open up like just the conversation sort of generally in terms of let's start looking on the plus side of things in terms of our experiences. Like, what are the biggest benefits? And I guess and you can look at this from two angles. From the personal, like I'm working in my personal life benefits, but also from the larger company benefit, you know, like the fact that I can do whatever I want, like in terms of my schedule, or, you know, I can make lunch while I'm on a phone call, is personal versus being able to hire the best people anywhere they are is like a company benefit. So we can open that up for either way. But I think I'm particularly interested in, like, from the company perspective, what's so awesome about being a distributed company?
Sure. One aspect of being distributed is that your fixed costs, which are typically huge for most businesses and involve owning computers and owning furniture and renting or leasing or buying an office, having a mortgage, you know, those types of things end up having a big impact on your bottom line. And as the director of operations, that's one of my concerns, is the bottom line. And it's interesting, when you compare Lullabot, and we do this every month in our financial KPIs, when you compare Lullabot to other companies that file with our same tax code, so hundreds and hundreds of consultancies and agencies and software companies that use the same tax code that Lullabot does, we all have essentially the same gross profit margin. So if you take our total sales and you subtract the cost of doing that work, you know, we're at sort of the same percentage as everybody else. But then when you look at our net profits, it's actually much higher, which is a reflection of having these much lower fixed costs. And that allows us as a company to do amazing things, like our retreat in Mexico last year, where we took everyone to Puerto Aventuras and stayed in, you know, four beachside villas and spent, you know, a pretty magical time together, you know, right on the ocean. Those types of things become not only possible, but necessary. And they're quite affordable, actually, when you compare it to sustaining an office across a year.
Yeah.
And I'll give another benefit that's related to that. As I mentioned, we wanted to grow across the country and provide leagues and social clubs everywhere. And most of our competition is in one city and centers around an office space. So we take that money that they might have spent on an office space in one city, and we invest it in infrastructure and the extra people that are required to be distributed and to provide across many different cities. So it's sort of a shift in a cost for us to provide this opportunity for a national footprint, which the last time it was tried in our industry 20 years ago was tried in the traditional model. And I think that those costs, I mean, every one of those cities of all of that real estate and the computers and all that stuff really eats into your margin and doesn't, you know, make that as viable a business model as the way that we grew.
Yeah.
Also, kind of less on the financial side, but still, I think on the company side, one thing that's fascinated me is how, while at a co-located company, you can certainly do work to put your focus on certain things. With a distributed company, your ability or tendency to micromanage the hows of everything is pretty much gone in a lot of ways. And so it focuses you on results in a way that I don't remember experiencing back when I used to share an office. Like, you paid a lot more attention to what was happening and exactly how people were doing things. And I think it kind of changes the way that you manage people. I remember that Brian Dahl from GitHub at Yonder had said that GitHub has a saying that they hire managers of one, and that I think that's just sort of a natural outflow of distributed work, is that people have to be self-managing to a certain degree, but it also provides a lot of flexibility, I think, for innovation in terms of how you get done what you get done. And that's interesting. And if you can find ways to sort of share that as a team, it can be really powerful, but it focuses you on results, I think.
Yeah, results speak much more truthfully than appearances. And I think when you're in an office, you're always looking at, you know, Bob in the next cubicle, and what time does he arrive, and what time does he leave, and how long a lunch does he take. When those things, which are very visible and apparent when you're working next to each other and sometimes distracting, actually have nothing to do with Bob's actual productivity, you know.
Definitely.
And what's interesting to me, having left the normal workforce so long ago, is that I would imagine in today's very connected and mobile world that what Bob gets done in the office is actually irrelevant to what he's actually getting done, because his smartphone's going off all the time and he's handling things while he's in line at the grocery store, or he is connecting back up at 10 p.m. at home and taking care of things. So, you know, that is all just appearances that is happening in the co-located world. And we've all had seen that when we were there, but, you know, we remove that at all. And as you guys said, it's about performance. It's about what gets done. And you definitely do tend to manage that way. And the people who can be managers of one definitely thrive in that environment.
Yeah, there's definitely, one thing I think it's been interesting is not everybody is cut out for working in a distributed company. You know, when I had the opportunity to come work for Lullabot and be in a distributed company, I was like, oh my God, yes, this is the most perfect thing ever. And I thrive in the environment. But I think there are a lot of people who don't, or it's been interesting in interviews. You know, definitely when we interview potential candidates, there's some people who have a lot of trepidation around what does that mean? How does that work? You know, like it's sort of a weird space. So like, to flip it on the other side, what are some of the things that are harder about being distributed than at co-located?
Well, I think you hit on one of them with hiring and how you get that done. I wanted to hit on one last positive that twists into, I think, the conversation about negative and personal. Mm-hmm. And I think Seth touched on it with, and you did as well, with the ability to hire fantastic people. we as distributed companies actually get to tap into a whole nother aspect of the workforce that for one reason or another is not looking to work in an office space.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, whether they're a new mother or father and they really want to be, you know, at home around the kids, but they are a manager of one and can manage themselves, or any other reason. So that expands our options even further beyond just the great people because that may live in Venezuela. Well, they're the great people that may live nearby, but can't make it to an office or have chosen not to be in an office. So that's one thing. But to me, one of the hardest parts, to bring it back to your original question, is definitely the hiring, and especially of people who have not worked in a distributed workforce before. And I'm always looking for new tactics and methods to make sure that we're hiring people who are going to succeed in this workforce and that you get the right sense of those people through a hiring. I mean, I don't know about you guys. Do you guys meet everybody face-to-face before you hire? I know we discussed this some yonder. You do it the same way we're doing this call today.
We, you know, I do a lot of the hiring at Lullabot, and we try to always do a Google Hangout and also solicit a video from our candidates so that there is some sort of sense of who the person is and how they carry themselves and what their nonverbal communication is like. But it's not quite the same as being with them physically. Although it's a pretty good proxy, you know, I don't usually feel surprised when we meet somebody at a retreat or at an on-site. You know, I feel like, okay, yeah, this is pretty much what I expected. The thing that tends to be the most different will be height. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, this person's much shorter or much taller than I thought.
Or I only come up to Seth's waist.
Yeah. I think other difficulties, you know, for a lot of people, they are motivated by being in proximity to other people that are working. And for those people that work in distributed companies, that often means having to go out to coffee shops or libraries or other places away from the home where they can be in a work environment. Because sometimes, for me, I love to work at home, but it sort of also means that home is work. Yeah. And for a workaholic, that's great. You know, I kind of like that. But for a lot of people, I think the inability to ever detach yourself from work or sort of having your whole home feel like your office can be a bad thing, a negative thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very important to have a door on your home office, and that aspect of actually closing that door. I shut off the lights and close the door in my office. And even though my office is... My office is actually my cell phone in my pocket that does escape the office with me. That little exercise really does help me turn off and shift gears and focus on something other than work, hopefully.
Yeah, I think that there's a difficulty. You can't manufacture through the technology that currently exists the energy that's there when you're in the same room with another human. And so I think that's part of what Seth was talking about, like going out to coffee shops. There are times when it's just being around other people can provide a certain energy. But there's also, for creative and for strategic kinds of thinking and tasks and production, there are times when it just feels like your efficiency or energy level goes up so dramatically when you're physically with other people doing it. That's sort of another challenge is sort of learning what are the things, even aside from being physically with people, what are the things that can get done really efficiently and well asynchronously, and then what are the things that we have to be really intentional about always creating, you know, synchronous connection to together at the same time work on something. And I found that in the creative disciplines and in design, there's a probably more of that needed than what our development team faces, like going through a given work week. And maybe I'm wrong, but I've found that I've had to get more intentional with creating those times where we're working together.
Well, I mean, it's funny because Drupalize Me is like, you know, there's the client services and creative, and then Drupalize Me is a product. So it's like, yet again, sort of a different, I don't know, class of what everybody's doing, because we kind of mix a bunch of these things together. But it's one of my big takeaways from Yonder was conversations that we had about this, and specifically when Brian Dahl from GitHub was up talking about how, you know, they say that, you know, FaceTime is for strategy and asynchronous communication is for tactics. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that. I actually came back and we reviewed all of our phone calls on the team, and we ended up like killing a bunch of our phone calls because they were sort of just eating up time. And but so I'm now taking the stance that FaceTime or just synchronous time, phone calls, hangouts, or in-person meetings, whatever it is, but it's not just for strategy. It's also for that people time. It's for that interaction with these people that I spend, you mm-hmm. know, 8 hours a day, you know, living with in some capacity. So for me, synchronous is for people things, and people things encompassing, you know, strategy, larger, higher level conversations or creative brainstorming, those kinds of things that you need to have sort of that synchronous back and forth to be able to feed off of that energy and those ideas. It needs to happen pretty quickly for it to be really successful. And then asynchronous is just like, yeah, these are tasks. This is what needs to happen. Once we have a vision, how we implement that vision and all of the little steps that need to happen. I don't necessarily need feedback from somebody within a few minutes of when I say something if there's a task that needs to be done, and that can be handled through email very easily. So I've been spending a lot of time in that headspace because I think that everybody needs that. And as we mentioned at the beginning here, right, yonder, we got everybody together in a physical space to talk about these big issues and these sort of overarching things and to brainstorm about things and to share experiences. And to build connections with each other. We didn't do it online. And so I think every organization needs to have that. But I think one of the difficulties of being a distributed company is figuring out where that line is. Because if you make mm-hmm. everything synchronous, then you're losing the advantages of being a distributed company, I feel, you know? So how do you find that line, to me, is one of the challenges of being distributed.
And I think you sort of touched on it with what you did coming back from yonder in being really tenacious about your meetings and standing meetings and what they're for and are they effective. I did the same thing. I came back and trashed two meetings that really weren't achieving my objectives, as I realized coming out of yonder. And then I looked at what other ones do I need. One of the things that I think that synchronous time is so important for, that you talked about the people time, it's that relationship maintenance with mm-hmm. new relationships and maybe relationship building, which, as we talked about at Yonder, is even better in person, and that's why we all got together. But relationship maintenance, my business partners and I have one phone call a week that is not based on a topic, and we don't, and mm-hmm. or, you know, it's not agenda driven. It's, we call it our coffee chat, because we're not going to get together after work and go to happy hour. When we were in the same town, we probably spent, you know, 3 out of 7 nights a week together right after work anyway, whether it was having a drink or going out to dinner or doing whatever. And we don't have that now. So we have to schedule that time in for that relationship maintenance. And of course, invariably, just like a happy hour would, work gets done in those meetings. Relationships improve, but also planning happens and things get unstuck in that time as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that maybe on the company side, that's another sort of, It's not necessarily a benefit, but it is an opportunity that when you work in a distributed fashion, because of the amount of like intentionality and communication, and especially like things need to be codified in order for people to be able to work well asynchronously, you have an opportunity at least to develop way better habits as a company. Because even mm-hmm. just listening to Johnny say that, I was thinking, I'll bet there's tons of co-located businesses out there that could use some event that they went back from and said, wait a minute, what are we doing with our meetings? And the same thing would hold true.
Yeah, there's so many people who end up saying, you know, coming to work for Lullabot, and they're like, wow, like I feel more connected, more communication than I did at a co-located company. Because everything has to be so much more intentional. You have to work harder, which makes you better. At least I hope.
Fingers crossed.
Well, and I think you're talking about the benefits and the troubles at the same time, which mm-hmm. I think we all found out they're very intertwined. You have to create that intention, and that takes time and dedication and understanding of the struggles that you're meeting. And then you can also meet with resistance on that. Why are there so many policies? Why is everything, you know, like that? Well, that's the nature of this distributed company and the way it works. But at the same time, we revisit them, just like with the meetings. And back to that, you know, project and results driven. Is this policy or process really driving results?
Yeah. So let's move towards wrapping up by, I shared sort of my biggest takeaway from Yonder. I had many, believe me, but what for you guys, what were your biggest takeaways or tips or points that you got from Yonder? Anybody can start. You want me to pick somebody? Seth.
Sure. It was interesting. One of the things that was a revelation to me was how similar certain experiences are across all distributed companies. And they were things that I always thought were sort of quirky. And it turns out that they're actually shared experiences. So one of those, for instance, is that sometimes people in a distributed company will sort of disappear from the social fabric that's been created. Like they won't post to Yammer, or they won't show up on IRC, or they'll miss a 515. And they sort of don't do a good job of, you know, keeping people in the loop of where they are or what they're doing. And that's a skill that you really need to thrive at a distributed company. You need to be a great communicator. You need to write well. You need to kind of promote yourself and what you're doing all the time. And if that doesn't come naturally to you, or if something's going on in your life, sometimes people will do what we call submarining. And so that's a new word for me. I got that word out of Yonder. I had known the phenomena, but I hadn't known that everybody knew about it and that there was a term for it with distributed companies. So, you know, it's allowed me to have a better vocabulary about some of the things we experience. The other one that was really fun to talk to everybody about, I live in a small town in the Mountain West. And, you know, when I tell people ask me, what do you do? And I'll say, you know, well, I work for a web company and we do large websites like Martha Stewart and MSNBC. And, you know, their eyes sort of widen and they look really impressed. And then I say, we're a distributed company, because I can see their mind churning, thinking, where is this amazing company in our tiny little town? Like, where's their office? Like, where in Carbondale do 43 people work and not have me know about it? And I say, well, we're a distributed company, meaning everyone works from wherever they live, and we have employees from, you know, Copenhagen to San Francisco. And the minute you start talking about distributed company, they start looking at you like that schizophrenic man that sits down on the park bench next to you and just starts raving. You know, they don't know whether they believe you or not. You know, they're not sure you're still telling the truth. Did you really do MSNBC, or are you like a little crazy? And Scott Birkin has a line in his book, The Year Without Pants, that I really love, where he says, this is one big problem with working remotely. No one believes you have a job at all. If they don't see you walk out the door, doubts linger. And sometimes I feel like that with my community and my friends and my neighbors. And it was a revelation for me to be at Yonder among my people, where there was no question of legitimacy and everybody understood what it meant to be in a distributed company, to run a distributed company. And that was just a really good feeling for me that came out of Yonder.
Absolutely. And I'll say, Seth, add running a kickball company on top of being distributed, and then and then check out that schizophrenic next year.
I was going to say, yeah, like the web company thing and being distributed, people are, you know, wrapping their heads around that these days. But like, wait, why don't you provide essentially a physical service?
right. And so it's very funny. We had a lot of the same, or I had a lot of the same great takeaways. The first one, though, was that distributed is indeed the right term for the way we run our companies.
Not remote,
not virtual, which we had embraced virtual a long time ago, but distributed really does nail it on the head as what we are, and is a positive term. And I think,
give the reasons for that real quick.
Right. Well, absolutely. And one of the big mindsets on that is a lot of the other terms are negative to the person who is remote. If you're remote, that means you're out of touch or something, and the center is somewhere else. And with both of our companies, the center is everywhere. It is the people wherever you are. virtual means, hey, it doesn't really exist. It's just in the Ethernet. And as you guys said, you know, we all provide real results and have real jobs. Right. Yeah. I'm not a pretend company. It's in Second Life. although I'm sure people are making plenty of money there as well. So the first thing for me was that distributed really is the right terminology and the way to look at what we do. And the second one was just like, Seth, I'm not alone. These are my people. Look at all these issues out there. But the biggest, I think the biggest takeaway for me as we had all of these discussions is a phrase that I've come to embrace, which is in a distributed company, we have to do everything that you have to do in a co-located company, only more so. We just have to be so rigorous on making sure that we are communicating, that we do have the right tool sets, that we do understand each other. So there's that attentiveness and that mindfulness that really, you know, jives for me. It's what I really like working on a company. Mm-hmm. So I get to concentrate on that. But that we have all the same challenges. Mm-hmm. We just sort of have them more so.
Yeah. What about you, Jared?
I think for me, my biggest takeaway was finding ways to be way more intentional about what I'm using asynchronous communication for and what I need to be using synchronous communication for. And doing that both well and efficiently. I feel like it's a challenge, and I enjoy sort of figuring that stuff out, and I'm not afraid to find out that for the last 3 months I did it wrong, kind of a thing. So I've kind of come away from Yonder feeling like, this is fun. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. And part of that is the culture of our company is like we're not necessarily. Maybe that's a, you know, natural for a lot of distributed companies. If you're already sort of shirking the way that business has always been done since the industrial era, you maybe are people who are more likely to just say, hey, you know what, maybe we could do it differently. And it's okay if it doesn't work perfectly the first time, we'll figure this thing out. So I feel like Yonder was good for just giving me that energy and encouraging me that, like, yeah, other people are doing this too, because we shared a lot of our failures with one another and things that just didn't work and that kind of stuff. And also, you know, there were some nuggets that just feel like they really got me thinking. I don't necessarily have answers from them, but so, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was. So with that, we should probably wrap things up, but does anybody have any other last thoughts or things that we didn't hit on that you're just like, but I wanted to say it?
It wasn't a bad thing that we were at the Loews Coronado Resort on an island off of San Diego.
Yeah, in January.
Yeah, fair enough.
Especially given the duration of this winter on the East Coast. Unrelated, I'm going to give a shout out that the first official kickball day is April 17th. So you got about a month to find your cleats and get out there and play a kickball game with your friends. So... Mm-hmm. Rock on for that first kickball day.
And for those of you who are not from the U.S., don't know what kickball is, it's a lot of fun. You should totally check it out and play kickball. Awesome. All right. Well, cool. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and chat. I miss you guys. It was a lot of fun to hang out at Yonder. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks a lot, and I hope listeners out there that you gleaned a little bit of interesting information there. And if you have questions about, if you are in a distributed company or run a distributed company and you have other thoughts and questions, definitely share that with us. If you are curious about this or thinking about having a distributed company, again, like, definitely, I think one of the things that was interesting from Yonder is, like, we kind of met our people, and there were these other people who are doing the same thing with the same struggles, and it felt really good to be able to just communicate and talk about those things and share so much with each other. And I think I speak for everybody that we would love to share that with more. It doesn't have to just be, you know, those people that were at Yonder. Like, ideally, we share this, like, with everybody and make it, you know, help everybody be able to do this. So if you have questions or comments or anything like that, you can obviously leave some comments on the podcast page on lullabot.com. You can also contact us directly through Twitter, twitter.com/DrupalizeMe, Facebook, facebook.com/DrupalizeMe, or you can use our contact form on drupalize.me/contact, or just hit the contact link when you get to the website. But definitely let us know your thoughts or any additional feedback that you guys have. It's cool stuff. We probably could have talked for about 4 hours about this, but I do appreciate you guys coming on and taking the time.
Likewise. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Addie.
Bye, everybody.